The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Friends, thank you once again for joining us on Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by our good friends at Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. It's our joy to be with you each and every day at this time and to talk to a person that is in the community or a person that is making news, someone who's doing something for the kingdom of God, and I have such a person with me today. I've met her today for the first time, Catherine Kramer. And Catherine is a UF grad. Go Gators, right, Catherine?
Go Gators. Go Gators.
And she is now living in Orlando, and she's operating a bakery. And we're going to hear the entire story about how that she went to school for one thing and is now doing another thing. But it is a joy to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Where did you grow up? How did you come to know the Lord? And give us kind of your background.
Sure. So I was born in Gainesville, Georgia, but grew up here in Orlando, was raised in a Christian family, and grew up going to church, going to a Christian school here in Orlando.
What school was that?
I went to the First Academy the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, met the Lord at a young age and accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and just grew in my faith from there.
That's tremendous. We love the people at First Baptist and First Academy. What a great school.
It was great. So many great memories, and just surrounded by such a great community that really gave me the foundation for a lot of where I feel like I am now.
So you said you had started college at 2012.
I did.
So were you a 2012 graduate from
First Academy, yes, yeah. In 2012.
So you were there, I guess, during the times of transition and seeing lots of things change at the school and at the church as well.
Yes, yes.
And it's really great. Again, we just are so thankful for our partnership with the fine folks at First Baptist. They are on our station on Sundays at 1 o'clock.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
yes, so, I grew up going to First Orlando.
That's a great place again, and we're glad that you're here. Tell us a little bit about what it was like. Do you remember anything about Gainesville, Georgia? Because that's not too terribly far away.
No, I do not remember anything because I only lived there for 9 days.
Oh.
And then my family moved here, and my dad had already got a job here, and so they were kind of in mid-transition from Georgia, so I was born there, but I was raised for essentially my entire life here in Orlando.
When you look back at your years in the first time when you really got to know the Lord, what fond memories would you think bubble up first in your mind?
Sure. So I think one of the first things that I really resonated with Christianity and with the Lord was just how I fall short personally. And even as a, you know, young girl, as a child, you know, growing up, just realizing that I needed grace, and that was going to come from something bigger and more steady than I could provide for myself. Mm-hmm. And so really resonating with that, and having that modeled for me by my parents and my family and, you know, my church, my school, and things like that as well. Just that understanding of grace and my need for it.
That sounds like you had a really wonderful set of parents that kind of taught you those important lessons, because that doesn't always happen where a young lady who comes to know the Lord has that being modeled in front of her by the parents. And I just think that's a wonderful encouragement to all parents. What would be some of the early lessons about grace that you remember? Again, because that is a big topic. It's a big issue in our walk with God. It's the grace of God. It's everything we do. Mm-hmm. But as a young person, you said that you kind of found that early on. Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
Absolutely. So I think, you know, I wasn't familiar, obviously, like with the Enneagram as a young child. But for any listeners who are familiar with the Enneagram, just kind of a personality assessment that shows kind of your motivations. There's 9 types and things like that. Well, I identify as a 3. And a three is an achiever by nature, and a desire to please people, a desire to, perform. And so I think even looking back as a child, I had those desires. And, when I would just not be able to achieve to the level that I, would have that kind of innate desire for, things like that. I think my parents just encouraged me that, there was grace for that, and mm-hmm. that ultimately, people pleasing wasn't the goal or the measure of success that they had for me, and that I didn't need to have that for myself either.
I tell you, I know that we went through a series. I was much older than what you're talking about when the message of grace really hit home with me. Because I just didn't understand it, and I think many people would be in that boat of really not catching on to the fact that it's unmerited favor, not anything that we could do or have done that would deserve it, but God gives his grace to those that he wants to give his grace and opens our eyes and ears, and that's what happened to you at a young age.
Absolutely.
I don't know what number I would be on that scale, but it wouldn't be probably as high on the achiever mark as what you sound like you were.
That's well, we all have skills.
That's right. Everybody has skills. And you went on to go to Florida. What mm-hmm. drew you to UF?
Yeah.
To be that be the school of your choice.
Yeah. Well, growing up, I was familiar with UF. I went to games with my dad, things like that.
What kind of games? Basketball or football?
Both, actually.
Oh,
basketball
yeah.
and football, yes. And so grew up being very fond of UF, and I applied as a junior and got accepted. And honestly, just feel like that path was just made clear for me to go there. I was looking at a couple of other schools that were out of state. And my family actually, my junior year of high school, adopted a baby from birth. And so with bringing him into our family, going to school out of state was just something I was no longer interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I'm already 17 years older than my brother, and I don't need any kind of physical distance between us to, just intensify that. And so going somewhere that was close was very appealing to me, and going somewhere that I could study something that I thought I would be very interested in, was very appealing, and being a Gator, and I absolutely loved it.
It's not very far up the road to travel up to Gainesville, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You've got two Gainesvilles on your resume now.
I know.
Yeah, that's great. So this this whole difference of Florida, and you would have found out not long after going up there, if you didn't know it already, that a lot of people who go as freshmen find the atmosphere a little bit distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that yourself? Was that ever an issue for you of just being alone in a city now for the first time, even though you're only 2 hours away?
Mm-hmm. I did definitely see that. I think that what's really special about UF and probably a lot of other state schools is you really see it all. So there's, people there that this is their first step away from their home, and they have freedom, and they kind of just use it to the nth degree. And but there's also people there that really love the Lord, and there's not, mom and dad making sure that they, go to church or do the things that they were taught to do. They're doing it because they have genuine love for Jesus, and mm-hmm. they want to grow in their faith. And so getting to actually see that as well was actually very encouraging to me.
That's really neat. Were you part of clubs or anything like that going to UF?
Yes. So I was a part of Crew, mm-hmm. formerly Campus Crusade at UF. And I was also a part of Greek Life. And so within my sorority, we had Bible study, and then there was also a division of Crew called Doulos that was basically Crew for people that are in sororities and fraternities at UF. To me, on a monthly basis, share the gospel with our brothers and sisters, and that was a great place for me.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you did really great, and that was, again, a golden time following on the heels of some big national championships. And
mm-hmm.
The Gators were really rocking during those years, and it's really fun to get to see a young person like yourself get to college, not be drawn into all of the negative sides. And Florida again has a bit of a reputation on some fronts as being a party school.
Sure.
But like you said, you found what we also know, that there are a lot of positive, wonderful resources available right there on campus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I definitely felt that and very quickly feel like I found a group of girls that just loved the Lord in a different way than I had even seen growing up in, you know, a very Christian community. And so that was really special. And, you know, finding that community really was key.
Now, you wanted to be a nurse.
I did.
You enrolled mm-hmm. as a nursing student mm-hmm. and you actually graduated with a degree as a registered nurse.
I did. Yes.
And so tell us about what made you want to go into that.
Sure. So I didn't have a lot of experience with medicine. It's not like, you know, anyone in my family was kind of in that field, but it was something that I thought I would definitely be interested in. I was very interested in working with kids, working in pediatrics. And so that was sort of my goal from there. I thought this could be a great fit for my skill set. Mm-hmm. And I did apply once I was a student at UF to be in the College of Nursing and got accepted into that. And so my junior and senior year, like, spent it entirely in the College of Nursing and also doing clinicals at UF Health Chans, and really had a wonderful experience with that. Still thought that that's kind of the path that I was gonna you know, take as a career and beyond UF. And it's not exactly what happened.
That's right. Did you work in hospitals on the part time or anything like that up in Gainesville?
I never worked in the hospital, but I did volunteer at Shands, and then also all my clinicals were there. So mm-hmm. that was quite a lot of hours mm-hmm. during those last 2 years.
What was your favorite part about nursing when you were taking all of that? What was that?
So my favorite part, maybe my favorite department that I was in, was labor and delivery. That was so special, and obviously getting to, you know, see life brought into the world is just such an amazing experience. And the way that those nurses cared for those women and interacted with the families, and you kind of get double duty. You get to, you know, care for those women as your patient, and then you know, you get a second patient as well in just the new baby that was just born. And so that was just an absolutely amazing experience. Mm-hmm. The nurse that I was working with, she told me, we were in a C-section room, and she told me, she said, like, you're probably gonna cry when you know, this baby's born. And she said, like, that's totally normal. She said, I've been doing this for years, and she said I don't cry every time, but I still cry a lot of the time. And she's like, so it's totally normal, don't feel, you know, uncomfortable by that. And so that was very sweet of her, because it was very overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you see a baby just born, the glory of God, I believe, is on full display in that moment.
Absolutely.
There's just nothing like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very exciting. And I think that's across the board, whether or not a person is a believer, they can wonder and just marvel at God's creative power in that new baby. That's wonderful. So you probably spent a lot of those hours at Shands then.
I did. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
A teaching hospital like that, a lot of people would not realize that while it is also a world-class hospital, they are also teaching students, mm-hmm. and students get to work right alongside people who are experienced in their fields and
yes.
get to learn and grow from all of
mm-hmm.
that.
Yes, it was a great blessing to get to learn from so many doctors and nurses there.
So we have an achiever student who is doing well socially and making contacts within crew and a sorority and surrounded, and you're doing nursing, you're busy, you're studying, and this is not a discipline. You were not in a subject matter that was easy. You had to spend a lot of hours doing studies mm-hmm. to do all that. Was that easy
sure.
for you?
There were definitely times that were rigorous, for sure. It sort of comes in waves, I feel, mm-hmm. with the exams. And sometimes it's more clinical heavy, which is less studying, but more actually, you know, in person, kind of getting your hands dirty, sometimes literally with things. And then, you know, times of more studying, more rigorous. But there were lots of groups and even girls that I was talking about initially that I, you know, met my freshman year that ended up going nursing as well. And so, you know, we had quite a little group together to kind of get through those longer nights.
Oh, that's great. I'm talking today to Catherine Kramer. Now, Catherine, you, again, we've talked about this already. You graduated, you had this degree in nursing, yet at the same time, there had to be something rolling underneath you that you were also growing in, and that was the ability to bake. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to talk more about that in the second segment, but tell me how and what you were doing to kind of grow in this area as well. All the time you're studying nursing.
Sure. So actually, that really goes back to my childhood as well. Hospitality and cooking and baking and bringing other people into that was modeled for me my entire life, mm-hmm. mostly by my mother, but also by my grandmother's. And so, you know, food and dessert and things like that was a way to just brighten someone's day, whether they were going through something that was really hard or really great. It kind of crossed all the lines and so that was something that I just grew up seeing modeled for me and was just kind of innate in me as well. And then going to college, I was living in an apartment with some of my friends, and we did have a full kitchen and things like that in our space that we lived in. And so when it was our friends' birthday parties or someone in our sorority or something like that was celebrating something, then very often it was at our apartment. Mm-hmm. And it was just very easy for me to volunteer to make, you know, something to serve at that, whether it's, you know, just a fun drink, a fun cupcake, a fun, you know, dip or something like that. And that was just not hard for me. And I was just very quick to offer just because that was something that just was so normal in my house growing up. And so that was a big part of my college experience as well.
Paying attention to all those loves like that really can do a great step toward a person's future, because that's exactly what happened to you. It brought you joy. It brought you fun. It was something that you'd seen in your folks for years. Mm-hmm. And this nurse, my friends, is going to become a not only a baker, but a business owner mm-hmm. in the future, too. I'm talking to Catherine Kramer, and Catherine owns Southern a bakery. I think it's Southern Bakery, right?
Southern Home Bakery.
Southern Home Bakery. Mm-hmm. And it's in the Central Florida area. We'll find out more about that coming up in a moment. And we'll be back after this word from our sponsor, and that would be Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Have you been considering a new career path? Do you miss that feeling of making a real difference? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando can help you get there. And you can find out more in person on Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. This free event gives you a chance to see all that you can become through Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. PBA's Orlando campus is just off I-4 next to the Mall of Millennia. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Happy to have in my studio Catherine Kramer, and she is the owner of Southern Home Bakery. I'm still kind of just amazed at the, you know, that test that you said. I don't think I've ever done that. The Enneagram, you said?
Enneagram. Enneagram, yes.
All right, and I've never done that yet. We'll have to check into that. I don't think I have. My daughters may say, yeah, Dad, you did too, this, because there was a test that I took,
sure.
One of those personality tests, and I don't even remember the outcome of it.
Sure.
But were definitely living up to what you tested out as. You graduate from UF, Go Gators.
Go
and
Gators.
She is... a nurse, an RN, but you never really went into that profession. And like many that get their degree in one area, you found something calling your name. How did that happen? What was it like to go right from graduating and you have a degree? How long did it take you to realize I'm not actually going to work with my career in this field? How
sure.
long did that take?
So actually, I did apply for a job at a hospital did work as a nurse initially after graduation. And it was very short into that experience that I realized this is not actually what I wanted to do.
Did that disappoint you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. And again, just kind of that like natural achiever in me and people pleasing nature that I had. It was very discouraging and confusing to, you know, think that this is kind of the path and the vision that I had for my life. And then to, you know, quote unquote, achieve that and it not be, you know, fulfilling to me in the way that I thought it would be. was very challenging to me, didn't actually feel like it was perfect for my skill set, and wasn't even really sure why. And so that was hard.
What was it like for you to get words of encouragement from your parents during this time? I'm sure that they were surprised as well, mm-hmm. because you'd invested a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of hard work.
Yes, yes, a lot for sure.
Yeah.
They were very encouraging to me. They really were a great sounding board. They listened and prayed for me, and actually worked the night shift. My mom, every night shift that I worked, my mom texted me about 2 or 3 in the morning that she was praying for me, that she was awake, that she was thinking about me, that you know, things like just encouraging me just through just hard nights at the mm-hmm. hospital. But I will say there was definitely something in me that wanted to quickly switch, that wanted to just find a different path. Mm-hmm. And they really encouraged me to stay the course for a little longer.
You know, that whole thing about study and completion, what you did, and even if you're not spending now your career in that field, there was so much you learned there at UF. And there's so much that you learned with that degree that's still going to help you in your future career.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. It's definitely not a loss. It was just hard to kind of pivot when for so long I thought that that was going to be a good direction for me.
I'm just betting that there were a lot of your friends that ended up in a similar situation, studying for one thing, doing something completely different.
Absolutely. Actually, almost all of my friends ended up doing something that was different than what they were initially studying, or found a path that was better suited for them.
I think that says a whole lot about the reality of, and that's what happened to me. I went to school to be a teacher. And in my case, I found out that, like you, that wasn't where my heart was at the time. And a new path struck out, and it was in broadcasting mm-hmm. back in the day. And then after becoming a broadcaster, I find out that God's calling me into ministry. And so I spent 36 years in ministry, and now I'm back in radio again.
Wow. Wow.
So it is one of those things. You never know what your future might hold for you, or how that your degree in nursing might come back up.
Absolutely.
In the future. But it's really exciting that you had this, as we talked about in segment one, you had this love of hospitality and this personality that goes hand in hand with serving people mm-hmm. and the joy of cooking for people. So there had to be some fun transitions about what about a bakery or mm-hmm. what about baking? How did that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So I really found myself just in a hard season, like I said, where I was discouraged and disappointed and confused, and it was really just one of the harder times of my life. And I started just praying for just some kind of direction for something else. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know, here I am, I'm 23 years old. I have this degree from UF. I have a desire to work hard, and I'm just not sure what that would look like. And I started dreaming about what if I could do this thing that I loved sharing with people, that I did just for fun. And is there any possible way that I could monetize that or, you know, start a new dream with that being the focus? And so that actually started while I was still working the night shift at the hospital. I would kind of start building this business plan during the day and just experimenting with what that could be like while still, you know, getting that direct deposit and sticking it out, you know, a little longer at the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were thinking about this business plan, obviously for a cook, you had to be thinking about what you would make, mm-hmm. what you would bake. Mm-hmm. And did you come up with ideas then that you're actually still employing now?
Yes, yes. So initially it was things like bundt cakes and lemon bars, pecan pie bars, cookies, things that were very Southern, that were very normal in my house growing up, and things that my mom would make, or my, you know, grandmother's recipes and things like that. And I knew that I, you know, would want those to be staples in you know, my bakery, if that mm-hmm. was something that I could achieve.
That's really fun. And so what were the first steps that you took to actually becoming a business owner?
Sure. So my dad actually gave me a book by Christy Wright. She is a part of the Ramsey organization and with Dave Ramsey, and her book was called Business Boutique. And it really walks you through step by step creating a business plan, and from the idea phase to actually launching it and doing it in a way that is financially wise. And so my dad sort of gave that to me almost like, okay, either read this and it will discourage you from wanting to pursue a business, or it will encourage you and actually give you the tools to do it. And so I read that book while
great
I was nursing.
Great advice from your dad. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yes. And so kind of was able to work two jobs at once. And it definitely felt like that. It was definitely hard. Mm-hmm. But it gave me the foundation with my business while I was still, able to like bring in an income.
Tell us about what you learned in the Dave Ramsey course, mm-hmm. because he's a guy that we all respect. We love him.
Sure.
And his model is, while it's not the most immediate satisfying, it's the most sure-footedness for a new business. And he is not one that offers a flash-in-the-pan answer.
Sure.
It's hard work.
It is.
But it pays off.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing about his illustrations keep you out of debt and keep you on the right way. What were the steps? What were the first steps that you remember putting into practice from what you learned in those books?
Sure, absolutely. So a lot of what she taught through kind of Dave Ramsey's principles was this concept of like taking the jump from your corporate job to your business dream, things like that. And they sort of changed that analogy to rather than being a jump, how can we make it a step? So instead of you're on a boat and you're, you know, going to jump to the dock, what if you bring the boat right up next to the dock and then you just take a step from the boat to the dock?
Mm.
And so the ways that you can do that are what are the quick wins? What are the low hanging fruit? What is, you know, that those first couple of clients that you can serve and serve them well, gain confidence, gain an income from that, pour it back into your business. And that's how you're actually going to be able to gain momentum. And so that's really kind of the foundation of what they preach in this book.
So as you started doing those steps,
mm-hmm.
you started seeing some of the realities of the fruit from those steps.
Yes, I did. So I, there's different laws in different states, but in Florida, I figured out quickly that I did not want to have a bakery in my home. There's just a lot of regulations with that. So I rented a corporate kitchen space and was able to get a business license doing my baking out of that corporate kitchen,
mm-hmm.
which is difficult. It's a shared kind of commissary space, but that's how I started. And then I would bake for different clients. And then also I would work at farmers markets, several around Orlando on Friday mornings, on Sunday mornings, on Saturdays, things like that at different times, and would get to meet and serve new people through that as well.
So the farmers market concept, that would be just you've baked a bunch of things,
mm-hmm.
and you've got them packaged somehow.
Yes. Yes.
And you show up and you've got, and if mm-hmm. you sell out, you leave.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. I have my booth and all my things and my business cards. And, you know, that's how you meet someone and they say, oh, my, you know, my daughter's having a wedding. Could you do all the cupcakes for their wedding? And
mm-hmm.
that, you know, things just sort of move from there.
That's really fun to see mm-hmm. how that this came about. Well, it didn't stay there for long because Southern Home Bakery continued to grow.
Yes.
And as it did, you immediately know what you were going to do, or did that kind of take it a step at a time too?
Sure. So it really did just move at a step at a time. Like I said, for a while I was doing both still, the nursing and, you know, building my business. And then I was able to quit that corporate job and do this full time and worked on my own fully running Southern Home Bakery. Everything from being the delivery person to the dishwasher to the baker to the marketing person,
mm-hmm.
kind of just doing all of those things. But it really was my dream and it was growing. And so that was very encouraging.
From graduation to the time that you just described, mm-hmm. where you were working both of those jobs and really working hard,
mm-hmm.
working out of one job into another one, which was obviously your heart. How long was that period?
It was about 18 months.
Only a year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty quick then,
mm-hmm.
in hindsight.
Yes, it felt longer, but looking back, it was quick.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And I think a lot of that has to do with both the advice that you were given and the wonderful principles that you followed, mm-hmm. this idea that you didn't jump all the way out of the boat. You took a step.
Sure.
And that was really, really wise for you. Now, there had to be several other steps, like you said, mm-hmm. before a Southern Home Bakery in College Park actually
yes.
came out.
Yeah.
So what was that like for being a young lady, as you are? Now you're talking about opening up and renting out a full established place from which you operate your bakery.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So actually, just really... I've seen just the Lord's hand in so many things in my life, but honestly, Southern Home Bakery is a place that I see so much of his provision, because here I am renting this space, working kind of all the aspects of the job by myself, and it's growing, but it's not exactly my full, you know, dream fleshed out. And so... but just still kind of, you know, working hard in those things. And then there was just an opportunity presented to me. It was Cookie Cousins in College Park in Orlando, and they were going through some transitions, and the opportunity arose for me to actually acquire that bakery with those team members and some of those recipes and things that they do really well, and just kind of bring it into mm-hmm. what Southern Home Bakery does. And so that was a huge step in growing my business.
Do a lot of weddings. Mm-hmm. Is that part of your business?
It is. It is. So right now, primarily Southern Home Bakery, we create custom cookies. So sugar cookies that you may be familiar with, although ours are a lot softer. They're not, you know, dry and crumbly like you might, you know, be picturing, but they're beautifully decorated sugar cookies that are individually wrapped. And primarily these cookies are ordered for private parties or corporate events. So we have a lot of corporate clients that send, you know, branded cookies to mm-hmm. their clients or their team members, or we have clients who order them for private parties like weddings or showers or things like that you know, they're for their guests.
How has it been during the pandemic for you? Mm-hmm. What changes happened as a result of that?
Sure. So 2020 was definitely hard, and my business definitely took a hit during that, as our storefront was closed for about 6 weeks. So we didn't have anyone coming into the bakery to just kind of purchase cookies individually. We were able still to fulfill orders through a curbside pickup or delivery or shipment. Thankfully, we had already established a process for delivering and for shipping. Mm-hmm. our cookies, thankfully. But of course, when primarily our clients are looking for them for a private party or custom, you know, corporate order, those are the two things that aren't really happening in 2020. So that was definitely hard, and, you know, moments of uncertainty with that. But grateful that the fall and through, you know, this spring of 2021, things have definitely started to pick up.
When you look back over this, what advice would you have to young people mm-hmm. who have this same kind of entrepreneurial spirit
sure.
and want to have a business? What advice would you have for them?
Yeah, honestly, I would say go for it. Go for it in the sense of do what you can do today while you're working hard, you know, on perhaps your corporate job, the thing that's still providing you income. Don't feel like you have to rush the process. Stay the course, and you know, it's really just about taking the next right and wise step. Mm-hmm. And it can totally happen for you.
That's really good advice, and I love that picture that you've given us about the next step as opposed to the big jump.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something that's really big. And you're employing a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's about 13 women that work at Southern Home Bakery, some full-time, some part-time. But creating a business and a dream that serves my community well and inspires hospitality, but also is a dream that's big enough that other women can make it a part of their dream and it can support them, is something that's very important to me.
Oh, that's wonderful. Give us your website.
Yes, it's just southernhomebakery.com.
That's nice and easy.
Yes.
What are you looking forward in the few minutes that we have left here? What are you looking forward for the rest of this year?
Absolutely. So this year we've actually started creating some custom boxes. So these are things that my decorators have already created, these cookie designs that you can purchase on our website. And these are for different holidays that we are launching throughout the year. So right now we've actually just launched today our Mother's Day box. And so it includes 8 decorated sugar cookies that are beautiful and perfect for a Mother's Day gift, as well as 4 packs of our dots. Tots, which are some of our most popular cookies. And it would just be a sweet gift, you know, for your mother or your mom who has everything that we think she would love and would love to share.
That's wonderful. Catherine, it's really great to have you with us today. Catherine Kramer, and she's the owner of Southern Home Bakery. And that is, give us your address. It's in College Park, right on Edgewater.
It is. It's 2322 Edgewater Drive.
Wonderful. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's so great to talk to a young person on fire, not only for the Lord, but really doing it in the business world as well. And that's what you're doing.
Thanks so much.
You're leading the way. God bless you. And we'll be right back, friends. Don't go away. This is The Shepherd.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
It's great to have yet another Gator here on the program today, Kim Wehagen. And Kim is a graduate from UF, and I think you met your husband there as well, right?
We sure did. Go Gators.
Go Gators. Yeah. Now, Best Buddies, I have to confess, I had not heard about this organization prior to your coming in. And yet, this is a great organization that helps people. We have this series that we're doing here of messages on the fact that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And as you and I talked about, Kim, so many people will categorize mental health problems in one of a couple of things. To some people, it's only those that may be fighting depression. To others, it might be those that are fighting with some sort of accident or injury that left them impaired in some way in their brain. But as we've talked, it covers the scope, a wider range of reasons why people are dealing with issues that pertain to mental health. And your organization is a unique one in the sense that you have a name to kind of support those that are fighting some of these battles with a friend, with a buddy.
Absolutely.
So tell us about how this formed.
Yeah, so Best Buddies, we actually celebrated our 30th anniversary just last year. And we are all about friendship and inclusion and honestly acceptance of others and knowing that we're all God's children. And so at least locally, we impact more than 40 schools in the Central Florida area. We cover 5 counties, Orange, Osceola, Seminole, Lake, and Brevard. However, we're all throughout Florida and actually in all 50 states, as well as 56 countries internationally.
Now, so this is an international program, not just something in Central Florida only.
Correct. It's international. I've actually met our Best Buddy chapters in Asia, in South America, Europe, all over. We have a leadership conference every summer up at Indiana University. And it's amazing. There are thousands of people all over the world that are all about this global volunteer movement. And so we aim to help create one-on-one friendships, leadership development, integrated employment, and inclusive living for those with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So when we talk about intellectual and developmental disabilities, we're working with a population that may have autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury. And, you know, as you mentioned, Mike, the mental health is a really, really important piece of that. I think all of us can reflect on the friends that we have in our lives, right? All the good memories, especially when you think about your childhood. And unfortunately, the population that we serve before Best Buddies, I've heard so many stories where some of our buddies, before they found a Best Buddies chapter in their school, would be bullied. They would be at lunch sitting by themselves. You know, no one would invite them to eat lunch with them during the lunch hour. Simple things like going to prom. Right. I think all of us have been to prom or been to homecoming dances. And, you know, you think about all those wonderful, wonderful memories. And unfortunately, the population that we do serve, if it weren't for Best Buddies, they usually would never experience that. And so, yeah, of course, it does lead into things like loneliness and the feeling of being isolated. But because of Best Buddies, our schools have the support, thanks to our volunteers, our teachers, school administration, to be able to provide these opportunities for students with an intellectual disability to be matched in a one-on-one friendship with a peer.
And it makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? If you have a situation where there is a child, like you said, perhaps with autism, and the range even of children dealing with autism, that range is wide as well. Mm-hmm. You can have some that are functioning well with that syndrome, with that condition. And then you have others that are really more affected by it. So having this lack of being alone, having a friend, can make all the difference in the world.
It absolutely does. I've heard so many success stories from parents even. You ask a lot of our students before Best Buddies, who would they hang out with? It'd be their parents, maybe their brother or sister if they're lucky. But unfortunately, when you look at their network before Best Buddies, it's very, very small. It's very limited.
Mm-hmm.
After Best Buddies, after being introduced to the program, especially in a school environment, their connections open up tremendously. You know, it's not just their parents and their siblings they hang out with anymore. They actually are making friends. They're growing their networks. They're finding job opportunities down the road.
Mm.
So it's amazing how important those relationships are, not only to boost confidence and self-esteem, but even just with the communication aspect. You know, having a friend, you can have someone to talk to and be able to share those shared hobbies and shared interests that you love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what life really is all about, isn't it?
It is. And it's wonderful to have the community. Some of these people, they just inherently go to school without a friendship, without a contact. They're alone often without a sibling and without that sense of having someone to go to. School itself can be a very lonely proposition for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting, too. We've heard from a lot of our peer buddies that get paired into the one-on-one friendship. And peer buddies, those are the ones that don't have an intellectual or developmental disability, but it's all peer-to-peer. So we try to match to the best of our ability, you know, ninth graders with ninth graders, 11th graders with 11th graders, just so that they're in the similar stages in their lives.
Right.
But I've heard so many times, you know, that our peer buddies actually, their lives have been changed even more so than our buddies have. I think everyone is just positively impacted by the friendships that they create. And I mean, when you really think about it, because of the Best Buddies program, we truly are developing the future leaders of our country and of the world. You know, there's a lot of leadership opportunities both for our buddies and our peer buddies, and they learn a lot through their experience with Best Buddies.
What a great idea. So you're not only reaching out to those that need the buddies, the peers of those people get drawn into this who are not dealing with any of these problems. And you are so right. Sometimes when you can learn to have compassion and patience with somebody that you once might have mocked, or you might have bullied, like you said, and you start to care for that person's heart gets changed too, and they are a better individual because of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally what we're all about. It's the friendship, it's patience, it's love, it's acceptance. So many values that I know that we all try to follow, you know, as disciples. So it's very, very important. And I think just having an environment where people feel safe and they feel like they are accepted is just incredible.
How have you been affected in this organization with COVID, with all the schools that have been kind of locked down and maybe not even open? How's that impacted you?
It has. It's been difficult. I think every organization has had challenges, especially when you're looking at the nonprofit sector. I mean, we were definitely heavily hit. We did the best we could, and we still do. I have to say, I thank our volunteers so much. We couldn't do it without them. So the teachers that are working extra hours, and on top of it, they're volunteering their time to ensure that their chapter stays as a cohesive unit, that they can still do fun events, even in this COVID environment, the school administration to make sure that they're on board and that they are fully in acceptance of what we're doing and what we're working towards. But yeah, it has been difficult. We've done a lot of things outside of the box this past year. Thankfully, there's technology. So Zoom has been our favorite. Yes. I'm sure for everyone, we're all Zoomed out at this point, but it's been a great resource to have to stay connected. Thankfully, we all have our phones. So, and of course we know, and I try to stay with it because it's been a very long time since I've been in school. But, you know, texting, social media, like being able to communicate in that way too has helped tremendously with our chapters. And even just coming up with out of the box ideas of ways they could get together during mm-hmm. this time. You know, we have a picnic in the park for our adult friendship program called the Citizens Program that's coming up this week. And so it's going to be beautiful. It's right by the park and the lake. And we're going to have actually some food donated from a local partner. It's going to be really nice. So having picnics in a park, walking out with your buddy outside, enjoying the fresh air, a little different than what we're used to. Mm-hmm. Because in a normal year, we would be doing, like movie theater dates, ice cream dates, our big friendship ball totally would have been in person. We've had like hundreds of students for that. So I think things are looking up. You know, I can see definitely in this next school year, we're going to be all back in person again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, everyone that's involved with our organization realizes the importance of that and to have kept it all together during this really difficult time. And it's just a matter of making it happen in a different way.
You know, it might end up being a silver lining to this cloud in the fact that people may well appreciate more than ever the impact that Best Buddies bring.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting too? It was so funny. We did we got to see a Peter Pan performance actually this past weekend, thanks to one of our key supporters. And it was the first time we actually got to see each other in a while in person. And there were a few of our buddies, and this is the adult friendship program. So a lot of our adults are usually in their 20s or 30s, but anywhere upwards of 60s, 70s. We're here for the entire lifespan, right? And I realized that some of our buddies, it was the first time I actually met them in person, which I think is interesting because technology opens up doors for people that may have not felt comfortable mm-hmm. initially. But I think because we have that option to do things virtually, the comfort level grew.
Mm-hmm.
And then you eventually do become friends with those that end up coming up on virtual engagements. And then before you know it, they're here in person again. So.
Well, there you go. It might be a tool to get them more comfortable and open up.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, you are talking about people with a range and variety of levels of impact in their life of how this mental health situation affects them personally.
Right.
Well, it's so nice to have you here, Kim Wehagen from Best Buddies. And it's really great. It just, the future, how do you reach out to people who say, hey, I may like to find out more information about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We're always looking for volunteers. We're looking for those that would like to be peer buddies, especially in our adult friendship program. We do a lot of fun things. We're doing a picnic in the park coming up. We did see the Peter Pan show. I know we normally do happy hours and we celebrate each other's birthdays and do a lot of fun things that any 20 or 30 year old, 40 year mm-hmm. old would like to do. So it's a lot of fun. If you want to make a new friend and really change someone's life and change your own life as well, that's definitely an opportunity. We're always looking for speakers. Because of the pandemic, actually, TED Talks, I know.
Mm-hmm.
We came up with Bud Talks every Tuesday. So maybe Mike, you might want to come out to one of our shows.
To a Bud Talk. That's great.
That would be fitting.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
A little Bud Talk. So yeah. Basically, we've had professionals from all over the community who are passionate about a certain topic that want to really share their expertise and their talent and time with our buddies, and that way they can learn about different topics that they may be interested in as well. It can be anywhere from financial literacy to communications to health and wellness, nutrition. I mean, really anything under the sun.
Mm.
So we're always looking for speakers to come out and to host those trainings, because that is another pillar that we have. We have leadership development as well as jobs coaching. I don't know if I touched base on that, but like I said, we're here for every step of a participant's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you knew this, Mike, but more than 80% of those with intellectual and developmental disabilities are unemployed.
I did not know that statistic.
Yeah. So what we are doing, especially when they graduate from our friendship program in the schools, is the hope is that they join the friendship or the jobs program. And it's all about integrated employment. So fixing that statistic and ensuring that they have a career with a purpose every day to go to work.
I appreciate your coming in, Kim. And this is really great. Give us the website, if you will, for that.
Yeah. So if you go to bestbuddies.org, you can find all the information, depending on if it's Florida or anywhere in the country. If you know a relative that's interested, definitely let them know. And also, we have our annual Best Buddies Friendship Walk coming up on Saturday, May 1st. It's actually going to be at Old Town in Kissimmee. And it's, oh my gosh, it's amazing. If you ever want to see our mission in person, this is the time to do it.
Sounds great.
So we would love to see it. It's family friendly, and we would love for volunteers to come out, or even if you just want to check out our mission firsthand, May 1st, bestbuddiesfriendshipwalk.org.
Kim Wehagen, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
And friends, that's all of our time for today. Thank you for being here with us on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.